Today's daf in Masechet Menachot is daf Chof Tet, and we're right in the middle of this exciting sugya. I think what we'll do is we'll start once again to just go over the story of the height of the menorah and how it splits up the Gvi'im and the Kaftorim and the Prachim. So let's just once again review from Shmuel. Omer Shmuel b'Shmita Saba, Gov'ah shel menorah shmona asar tfachim. There was a total of 18 tfachim. We have the bottom section, which in the Pasuk is referred to as Yerecha. So it calls the bottom part its Yorech, as if it has a supportive thigh. That was indeed a box-like affair that had legs on it, and that, as we're going to be medayik later on from the Pasuk, had a perach on top, which was like, we'll say later on, is like the Pirchei HaMudim, that was a flowery top to it. That entire piece took up 3 tefachim in height. Then we have tefachim chalak, 2 tefachim without anything design-wise in it. Remember, this is talking about the actual menorah of Zahav. These designs were not absolutely necessary in other types of metal. We darshan yesterday. If it's ba zahav, then it's ba kaftoreh gvi'a pracheh. But in reality, so we had 3 tefachim for the base, 2 tefachim that were empty, and then a tefach in which there was the gavia, and a kaftor vaferach. We're going to be derish this from the psukim also later on.
So this is dafka?
In zav. Yes. Dafka in the sense that, that if you work out the height, then, in other words, it's reasonable that we should be talking about a tefach, for which is the normal size that we have for a thing that is defined. And since over here, of Isa, we used a kikar zohav, anything less wouldn't have used up a kikar. The sizes, assuming that we give to each one, or each grouping, and by the way, that piece is a little bit strange, because later on we're going to give, as we're going to see, to a single unit, let's say a kaftor, it's going to be a tefach. Here, we're going to include also a tefach. So when we have a tefach of a kaftor later, we have another tefach that has a gevia and a kaftor and a perach over here. And Tosfos asks, I mean, how exactly do you justify having a tefach that would be one entire thing, and then the same size of a tefach would be a grouping of things? So why would the one thing must have looked very different than the others? And he leaves this hanging, this question. The Tosfos is hanging. Now, as we said yesterday, there's a major machloket about how to understand this. According to Rashi, what we really did is we didn't use up the entire tefach for one thing. The tefach had 3 facets to it. So depending on what angle you were looking at it, you'd be seeing a perach sticking out, or you'd be seeing part of a cup sticking out, or you'd simply be seeing the round apple, like the palm. Rashi calls it a palm. Like we have an English pom-pom, which is from the French. That says palm is an apple. So that is one approach. So then it's the same tefach. Then you don't have the problem of Tosfos. Another approach, as we mentioned, is that they were nested within another. So it's not really that it was all that different. It's just that if you're talking about the height, so then you can place the pom-pom inside of the gavia. The gavia stretches out to the side because, as we're going to see later on, it's like the Kosot Alexandria, which is wide on top and thin at the bottom, so that you put the pom inside, and then to the sides, the perach could come out. So, and that would also be coming from the inside, maybe sticking out. In other places, Rashi's mentioned the perach was more engraved, rather than all the, even though over here it says it's like the amudim, which is much as part of the support system. But you can certainly work it out that there isn't a basic change in shape if you nest them one in the other, as opposed to, as Tosfos points out, the problem of simply fitting them all in. Okay, but in any event, so we have the 3 placed in the same tefach over here, and that would include the gevia, the kaftor, and the perach. Tefachayim, that would be without anything. And then you would have a tefach of a kaftor. But that tefach of a kaftor, also out of the size of the kaftor, there were shnei kanim that you were yotzim imenu echad erelach ve'echad erelach. So they went up diagonally to up to the side. Nimshachim olim keneged gova shel menorah, and they would continue up to the height of the menorah. Again, we can avoid the problem of the change in the width of the top of the branch even though it would be. In other words, there's two ways of approaching a problem. Obviously, what's going to happen is if you take the branch and it's supposed to reach the top, then it elongates as it goes further away from the middle branch, so that none of them are going to be able to stay the same size. There's two ways of dealing with this. Either you have the classic assumption, which is that it must have been curved. If it was curved, then you avoid that whole problem. The other approach avoids it by maintaining the same width of a branch, or the same radius of a branch, and what you do is you simply cut it at an angle so that it doesn't get wider. You don't pull it up all the way to the top. That angle is made up by the base of the lamp that's put on top of it, which then sits, depending how far away it is, it sits on a lamp itself as a base, which is angular, that fits directly over the space, so it creates sort of like a bend. Clear? Is there? Can I look at your picture again there? See how they do.
What's the problem? It's all the same height.
The problem is if something is coming up the same height, then it gets wider to as it goes further away. Take a piece of paper, draw it, and you'll see what the problem is, if you can't imagine it. There's no way to draw such a thing unless you're Escher.
Hologram.
No picture? There's a... You draw it and draw... Go take a branch and draw it straight up. And let me see how you manage to make it straight. Go ahead. Go ahead, draw a diagonal branch. No. It's got to have two pieces, the branch. I want the right side and the left side of the branch. Go ahead, draw it.
Branches of the candelabra.
No, two sides. Draw a branch with a right side and a left side branch.
Instructions are not...
Here's the problem. The branch is going to end at an angle. If you want it to end straight, this is going to have to keep coming thicker and thicker as it gets to the top, you see? Right. So there's two ways. Either you make it rounded, so then you avoid that, because it comes up like a round... Right. Or... I mean, what you do, they don't really show it properly here. Or what you do is, what they do is they bent it up with the parrot, where there's no reason to say that either. But actually, the top, which is not part of this whole cheshbon, those are the lamps that are placed on the top of it, they have a base that is angled, and when it touches, it sits properly straight up. And that way you don't have to deal with it. But ain't no kinami. The pipes are going to point in a strange direction. Only afterwards are they going to be connected. Right? But, or the way that people would normally draw it, since they immediately ran into that problem, is they made it round. And that way you don't avoid the problem. But again, there's no reference to roundness anywhere in the Mefarshim. It's not to say you can't say nimshachim ba'olim can't possibly mean round, but it's very difficult because, I mean, what you'd have to do is you have to say nimshachim first and then olim, instead of nimshachim ba'olim, which would mean ba'alachson, as Rashi says in the Chumash. Usually we use the word nimshachim ba'olim as a continued process of going up at an angle.
Straight line as opposed to a curve.
Right, which is normally a straight line. You could possibly say first nimshachim out and then olim. But that's not the normal usage of the word in Hebrew. But I mean, it's not a fatal problem. Okay, anyway, continuing on over here, as we spoke about yesterday. And then you've got the Shnei Kotzim Yemenu, Eilech Ve'Eilech. Then you've got another Tefach, Chalak. Then you've got another Tefach and a Kaftor in it, which has Shnei Kotzim Yemenu, Echad Eilech Ve'Echad Eilech. Nimshachim alam kineged govah shel menorah. Another tefach halak. Another tefach with a kaftor shnekanim yotzvel mimenu. Echad eilach ve'echad eilach. Nimshachim alam kineged govah shel menorah. Then you've got, once again, that break. Two tefachim break. And you've got three tefachim up to the top. And within those three tefachim, you have room for the three gviim. And this is all as we're going to see based on the pasuk. Kaftor v'perach. What were these gviim? Gviim l'mayim domim. Kemin kosot alexandrim. They were like these bechers that were wide on the top, got thinner on the bottom. Kaftorim l'mayim domim. Sort of like tapuchei akratiim. So they were like these palms. That means the French pom or the pom-pom or the apple, which is in Crete, and it would be small. According to Rambam, they're not perfectly round, and that's why we're calling them kit tapuchei akratiim, as opposed to simply saying they were round, and they were somewhat elongated in an apple-y shape, but weren't really just balls. And the prachim, l'mayim domim, like the prachim on the amudim on top. Now it works out. I'm going to go through this again in a moment. The Nimtzu, you've got a total of Gvi'im, 22. You've got a total of Kaftorim, 11. And you've got a total of Prachim, 9. And again, we're going to look at how we got that number just to make sure we understand it. No, we haven't spoken about that. Those are designed. And the Gvi'im, you need to have all those Gvi'im or none of them count. Gvi'im Ma'akvim says, hey, you need to have all the Kaftorim or none of them count. Kaftorim Ma'akvim says that. You need to have all the Prachim, and one of them missing would be Ma'akvim says, and not only that, but the missing Gvi'a would ruin all the Kaftor and Prarach and vice versa. So all the Gvi'im, all the Kaftorim, and all the Prachim would also be Me'akvim Ze'edze. Now let's go through the numbers. Bishlama Gvi'im Esrim V'shnayim. Now, the reason for that is, and I'd like you to look at this picture, which I've placed at the side of the page, in which we separate out the what we're doing right now, the Gvi'im and the Prachim and the Kaftorim. If you take a look at the Gvi'im, it's very small. Maybe let's use yours. It's on page, where are the page numbers? They don't give page numbers? They don't give page numbers. That is weird. Okay. There's no way to refer to the page. The next page.
28b4.
Yeah, so if you take a look at the Gvi'im, okay, look carefully at the Gvi'im. What they did over here is they separated out the Gvi'im from the Kaftorim and the Prachim. If you take a look at the Gvi'im, you see very clearly, again, because they're following the strange Pshat and Rashi, it comes out on the side, but let's pretend that these are typical Gvi'im. So you have 1, 1, 2, 3. And that's, as we're going to be darshaning, Arba Gvi'im.
One in the middle and three on the side?
It's not in the middle. It's between the base and the lower. Right? Yeah, and maybe you're looking at the wrong thing. So, top diagram, 22 goblets. Right. So the middle, you've got 4 gvi'im. Forget about the way that they're. I wish they wouldn't have done that. Forget about the way that they're sticking out at a strange angle, like somebody broke a leg. So there's 4 gvi'im, and that's based on the pasuk. It says uba menorah arba gvi'im. It says beferish. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. 3 at the top, 1 between the base and the bottom of the kanim. Okay. Each one of the kanim also has shlosha gvi'im because it also says shlosha gvi'im shukadim bekaneh ha'echad. You see,
that's what all those are.
So shlosha, that means 6 times 3 is 18 plus uba menorah arba gvi'im. 18 and 4 is 22. So that's very simple. We understand how we got to that cheshbon. Certainly, it makes sense if shlosha gvi'im in the kaneh that the shlosha gvi'im out of the 4 in the middle are connected. Those it's simply an aesthetic appreciation. I'm not saying that there are obviously all types of Kabbalistic issues that are understood from each one of these things. You know, different shemas with different letters. 49 altogether. Keneged the shem ben memtet, and then menorah itself is the Shar HaMishim, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the Shar HaMishim. That's why he was mitkash and the menorah itself. I mean, there's all types of issues. I'm saying, but let's just look at it from the simplest reading of the pasuk. This is the way that you and I would have made it too, given that there are 4 and the Gufa Menorah and 3 in each one of the Kanim, you would have put one of the 4 close to the Yarech, because we know that if there's a Perach, Ad Yerechat Pircha, as we're going to see, it was a Perach on the bottom. So if there's a Perach on the bottom, it makes sense that one of the 4 of the Gvi'im was also on the bottom part. The remaining 3 was connected, the 3 that are on each one, because it says, Shlosha Gvi'im Shukadim Bekaneh Echad. Okay, but certainly the number adds up to 22. That's very simple. Okay, so that's our first step. So the Gemara is now going to go through each one of them. So the Gvi'im Esrim Eshtayim says the Gemara, I understand. Dechtiv, Uba Menorah Arba Gvi'im, plus Shlosha Gvi'im Meshukadim Bekaneh Echad Kaftor Beferah. So add that up and it works out very simply. Arba Adida, the 4 of the Menorah itself of the Kaneh Emtzei, the Tumani Yisrei, 18, which is 3 times 6 of the Kanim, that equals 22. Now, the Kaftorim also work out very easily to the number that you've given. That's the Achad Asar. That's the yes, that's Kaftoreha. It says about the menorah. Kaftoreha, that's 2. That's Tredida. Then you've got Kaftor Tachat. Shnei akanim imena, kaftor tachat shnei akanim imena, kaftor tachat shnei akanim imena. That's a repetition of 3 additional kaftor, right? Then there's the shisha of the kanim itself, because it says it mentions in each one of the kanim, not only l'sheshet hakanim yotzim min ha-menorah, that there was a kaftor, that there were yotzei, but there were shlosha gviim b'shukadim b'kaneh echad, kaftor v'ferah. That means there was a kaftar, vaferach, and shlosha gviim on each one of the kanim. So that's six for the actual kanim themselves, three for the joining part of the middle, which is besides kaftoreha, kaftor, 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 and then the upper and the lower, the kaftoreha of the middle branch, as you can see very clear over here, equals the 11, which is exactly what we're looking for. Six on the side, two kaftorim is eight, and then the three out of which the kanim are yotzei. 8 plus 3 is 11, that's simple. So we have the kaftorim, you have the treidida, that's the kaftoreha. You have the shisha of the kanim, that's the kaftor vaferach, kokana vakana. You have kaftor, 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 repeated three times to the sheshet hakanim yotzim imena. That's chatzar, but prachim doesn't add up to me. Where in the world do you get tisha prachim? I mean, I added up to only eight. It says kaftoreha ufracheha, that's two, and then you've got kaftor v'ferach on each one of the kanim. That's one perach per kanes. Six plus two, last I heard, was eight. You're claiming it's nine. Where is the ninth one? So you have treidida, the shisha kanim equals t'man yahave. I don't understand where you get the ninth one. Omer of Shalman, there's another perach that's mentioned. It said, ad yirecha, ad pircha, mikshahi. So ad pircha, yirecha, must go together with some additional pircha. So beside kaftara ufiracheha, firacha has a minimum of two, there was also together with the yarech, there was a perach. And that was the original perak we included in the first three tefachim, where we said the box-like device on the bottom. Box-like device had a perak that was where the kana would come out of it, the mid kana, and that's at the bottom. And there you look, see it very clearly. Six along the sides with the seventh in the middle, and then you've got the additional one that's on the body and one that comes out of the base. Very simple. Equals nine. Omer Rav. Govash menorah tish'a tvachim, as opposed to Shmuel, who says it was 18 tvachim, says Rav, the menorah was only 9 tvachim high, which seems that he's basically divided everything by 2. So all of the dimensions that we gave before, actually, the way he works it out, maybe everything was thicker. That's what it sounds like. 8 v'rushim barchi el Rav, that's impossible. Because in order to light the menorah, we know that the Mishnah and Tamid says that there was an eden, haitalif ne'a menorah, there was a base made of stone that you would stand on that had 3 steps going up to it. Shlosha ma'alot, she'aleh ha'kohen omeid u'meitiv et ha'nerot. The Kohen would stand on this thing to light the Nerot. Now, how the heck could you stand on a base to light something that's only 9 tvachim high? I mean, you're going to have to bend. Well, what's the point of getting up in order to bend all the way over? Something's weird. Omar Leh, and this is very often what Rav would answer to Rav Shimi when Rav Shimi answered, asked him a question that he should have figured out himself. He would tickle him and say, hey, little Shimiat, this is really not appropriate for a man of your stature. No. Obviously, I was talking about the upper 9. But Shmuel also agreed with, started his cheshbon. He started 9 from the kanim. That is true. That is 9. From the bottom of the base all the way up to the kanim, Shmuel also agreed was 9. I'm talking about the part which we call the menorah, which is the branched part, as opposed to the pamot part. Gemara says that's called pamot. That's not called menorah. It says by Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Ve'aperach, ve'anerot, ve'amilkachayim, Zahavu, that in there, when we also learned that all of the different parts of the menorah, put it all together, had to come from that same kikar. But then it says a strange word, michalot zahav. Michalot zahav, we don't exactly know what that means. I mean, entirely from zahav. I mean, you say zahav. My michalot zahav. Omar Ravami, what it means is michalot, the devourers, the destroyer of gold. Making these menorot cost Shlomo his entire life savings. So she killed Tola Kol Zahav Sagur Shlomo. This really wiped him out. The Omer of Yud Omer Rav, you know, Shlomo made 10 of these, remember. Eser Menorot Asar Shlomo. In order to make the pure gold for all of these menorahs, for every single one, lekol achat v'achat, hevila elef kikar zahav. He brought 1,000 kikrot of gold from the mine, and he refined it 1,000 times, these 1,000 kikar, elef pamim lakur, to get rid of every impurity, which would be any other metal or anything else, 1,000 times, until that 1,000 was reduced to 1 kikar. Vemidu al kikar. Now, you understand what this must have cost him. And therefore, it impoverished him, so to speak. It used up all his zav. So good, that's why michlot. Is that true? I mean, does it really? Is it true that he literally used up everything? Does it say v'chol klei mashteh melech Shlomo zahav? I mean, he must have been pretty rich even afterwards if he could afford to have all of his kitchen and all of his dining room, all of his kelim were made out of pure gold. And here we're saying that it used up all his gold. V'chol klei beit yarel v'non zav sagur ein kesev. There's nothing silver. That's the lo nechshav b'mei Shlomo l'mahuma. Yeah, who's going to use silver at a time like this? I mean, in America, even the streets are coated with gold. So how can you say that he used it up? No, we're not talking about using up all his gold. We said he used up all the Zahav Sagur, but he was left with regular old-fashioned gold. Zahav Sagur is like the ultimate purity of gold. The Gemara tells what's called Zahav Sagur because whenever they open up a store that has this, all the other stores close. So Zahav Sagur that closes down all the stores. Anyway, but that's all we're talking about. But this really, I mean, I never heard of such a thing, to be able to refine something down that much. I mean, is it really... In refining, you'll be able to take 1,000 and bring it down to 1? But Tani Rabbi Yisrael, if you don't remember, Ma'asev Aita Menorat Beit HaMikdash. You just close it. Mieterah Shal Moshe Bedinar Zahav Kudikiyani. There was once where they worked out the weight of the menorah, and they saw that it did not fit precisely the measurements that they came up with the kikar zahav at the time of Moshe, and there was the difference was tiny because it was the difference of one tiny dinner out of the whole kikar, and so they needed what they realized that they must have not used the furnace efficiently to refine out everything. Everything else. They wanted to make it that it should be exactly the same weight of the kikar. So yichlisu shmonim pamim lakur. They heated it up 80 times. And after heating it 80 times, then it equaled the exact kikar. So, I mean, I hear you saying that you're able to reduce from 1,000 to 1, and that's in 1,000 times of refining it. And here they reheated it 80 times, and all they managed to take off of the kikar was one dinner. Well, obviously, says the Gemara, I mean, this is after it's been refined. Each time, it's the law of diminishing returns. So obviously, when you get to the point that they were at, keeping the koi, I mean, look, once you've got, you know, 99.9% pure gold, it's going to take an awful lot of heating in order to be able to reach a higher level of purity. What is the meaning of the word Al haminorah hatehora? Why was it called tehora? Yarochataneirot. That means, I mean, Torah doesn't even have any. You know, it's like the pure menorah. It's not the pure menorah. If you're talking about the metal, that the zahav tehora. What are you calling a menorah Torah? It means, it must mean. I mean, what else is there? This is such a loose word. It sounds almost Christian. The pure menorah. I mean, pure in what sense? Must mean sheyardu maaseh mimakom tehora. That it must be that min hashamayim, it needed to be shown to motion, it came from the heavens. Oh, really now? And when it says al shul hashulchan tahor, that means that the table also came down, nimakom tahor. What does it mean there? You know what it means there. It means technically tahor, for God's sake. It means that it wasn't tummy. In other words, the chiddush over there is, as we're going to see, is that the shulchan needed to be tahor, obviously, but what it means is that it could have become tameh. Why that's a chiddush, we'll see. But that was the point, as a technical meaning. So tahor, as we've seen many, many times, always implies in the drosha that it's really tameh. In other words, at least has that potential, so that poraduma. That's why we say dafket means to include tameh. So if that's what it means by the Shulchan, then why not just say that's what it means by the menorah? Hachinami Torah, bichlal sheitemeya. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. I mean, by the shulchan, it's a chiddush, you see, because the shulchan is made out of wood. Now, the problem with wood is that since it's compared in the pasuk to sack, and we understand that the nature of sack is that actually it's movable. It's used as a sack. Otherwise, what is nothing in common between sack made out of hair and wood? But the point is that it needs to be in the Lashon of the Gemara, mitaltel, malei v'reikam. You got to be able to move it around even when it's filled. And that gives us a maximum size to a kli eitz b'li mekabel tumah. It's too big to lug around. But it also means that a kli eitz that is meant to be kavua in its place, that is not moved, is not mekabel tumah. Now, one would think that the shulchan is definitely kavua in its place. Comes along the pasuk to tell me that actually the shulchan is mekabel tumah, and that teaches us a remarkable thing, that it's not meant to be kavua in its place. What does that imply? Let's take why does it say al hashulchan tahor atahor? I mean, that implies clearly michlal shu tamei. But how could it be tamei? Is it not a kli eitz asui l'nachatu? It's a kli eitz that's meant to stand still and not be moved. V'chol kli eitz asui l'nachat eino mekabel tumah. So I don't understand. Unless it's coming to teach us milamed that it's meant to be lifted. We lift it up and show them the lechem apanim, which many learn that that simply means that we lift it up in the heichal so they can see through the doors. But there are shitot, it's mashpah from Yerushalmi as well, that it was actually taken out of the heichal, and that Reish Lakish is therefore learning a din in the halacha of tamid. In other words, it's supposed to be the lechem, the fanai tamid. So how can you remove it? Must be from Ashulchan HaTahar, Mechlal Shul Tamei, that this is called the fanai tamid. So we could actually parade it around in the Azorah so that people would be able to see the lechem upon him is steaming hot. And that's what was important. V'omrim lem ru'uchi batchem lifnei amakom. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. What is that? Ma'chi batchem. Ki Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Yom Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Neis gadol na'asa b'lechem apanim. There's a tremendous miracle that was taken as a matter of course in the lechem apanim. Silu kol kesiduro. When they took the lechem off a week later, it was as hot as it had been when it was put on directly from the oven. Shenemar, as it says, losum lechem chom beyomi lakcho. To put on that lechem which was hot on the day that you took it off. Okay, so therefore it was not. We learn out very important dinim from here. Perhaps dinim that even define a psul of yaitzeh, a dinim of lefanai, and so on and so forth. I mean, obviously I need to know that, and that would explain why I would call it tahor. Because I need to know it could become tameh, but what possible chiddush could there be in telling me the menorah is tahor? Now what, it could be bekabel tumah when I'm an idiot? I don't understand from the simple pasuk in the dinim of tumas kelim that all clay matachot are bekabel tumah? So the menorah, pshita, what is that supposed to tell me? I mean, shita meya pshita. Of course it would be bekabel tumah. It's normal clay matachot. It's a metallic clay. A metallic clay is a bekabel tumah. That's why I said that it's got to mean something strange, something mysterious. And that is, that somehow, as all of the Midrashim teach us, Moshe was mitkasha in how he was supposed to translate his understanding into the shape of a lamp, and therefore it needed to be shown to him as a physical object, so that it was given min ha-shamayim its surah. We're going to see more of this in a moment. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that actually was not only the menorah, the aron also was shown to Moshe as a vision of an aron made of fire. The shulchan was indeed the shulchan shel esh, and the menorah shel esh, all of these were yordu min ha-shamayim as an image in front of Moshe, so that here, besides the audio, he had a video. V'ra'a Moshe ve'asa kamotam. Shinema ure'e. Here it says, look v'yasei. So you have seen the Tavnit on Har Sinai. Come on. I mean, it says see in other ways too. How about the whole Mishkan? You can tell me the whole Mishkan was built out of fire on Har Sinai because this is Bahar. So, Achinami? You're going to say the whole Mishkan was on Har? No. Look at the difference. By the first three that I've brought you, the pasuk, it says Re'e Kitavnitam. Tavnitam is a graphic, whereas Mishpatam is a concept. Don't you understand the difference? When you see a concept, you don't see a video. But when you see a graphic, you see a video. So the Kitavnitam obviously means that he must have had a visual aid. Kemishpatam simply means conceptual. So Achaktiv Kemishpatam, and Hatam Kniv Kitavnitam. Therefore, nobody would say the Mishkan came down as a visual, but these other three, the Tavnit, obviously, was also shown to Omri Kli Baraba, Omri Yochanan, Gabriel, who is, of course, the Malach of Eish, and that's where we had the miracle in Sefer Daniel. Let me come down, I'm the Malach Shel Eish, and it'll be a double miracle. The Eish will be Makara the Eish. So, he, being as he was the one that had to do the work of the fire, so here too, just like by Yechezkel, we had an engineer Malach, so by Gavriel, we have a smithy Malach. So he came down in a gestalt of a smith. Chagor kamin psikia, there he was wearing an apron, you know, looking like he's ready to do the work. Ve'ra'lo l'moshe ma'aseh menorah, dechtiv v'zeh ma'aseh menorah. When you use the word v'zeh, you're clearly pointing to something, and this means that he must have actually shown him visually what needs to be done. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, there's actually three places that we find v'zeh mentioned, and those were three issues that must have been problematic for Moshe to translate conceptually, and he needed a visual aid. And those are, and that was Acher Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzpo, they pointed to it and said, look, this is the way it looks. Elohim, these are they. The menorah, which we just discussed. Rosh Chodesh, which is a description of the molad, and that is very difficult unless you actually see it. You know, all these, what do you mean? You took it to a planetarium, obviously, you know. Must have been the San Francisco. Yeah, well, I mean, the problem, how it could show him is it was daylight, because only spoke to him in the day, so how could it, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Anyway, it must have been a planetarium. No, but it was at the moment of Rosh Chodesh. How do you see it at the moment of Rosh Chodesh? Anyway, so he showed him Rosh Chodesh and Shratzim, which are the Shratzim are Metami. The menorah, it's a Zemaseh menorah. Rosh Chodesh is a Chodesh Hazelachem, Rosh Chodeshim. What's Hazeh? You got to be pointing to it. Shratzim dechi v'zeh lachematameh. And others say, af yilchot shechita. Shinemar v'zeh asher ta'aseh la'mizbeach. And the Asiya is the Zvicha. Parshiot continues on the Mishnah onto the next piece. Shtei parshiot shemin mezuzah, me'akvot zo atzova, filu k'tav echad me'akvan. Now, it's obvious that if you're missing a letter, I mean, it says, what do you mean, afilu k'tav echad me'akvan? If you're missing a letter, then you didn't write the parshiot. I mean, well, of course one letter is going to be me'akev. Why would I think otherwise? Pshita. Omer of Yonam Rav, we don't mean a letter. We mean the din of the k'tiva letter. Lo nitzcha ela lekotza shel yud. We're talking about something which people don't even notice as far as the shape of the letter is concerned. We're talking about just the tip of the yud. Now, what is the tip of the yud? That's not so posh. If you take a look at the Ashkenazi Sifrei Torah, every yud has a little line coming off of the left side, not only of the right side, which is the foot of the yud, with the leg of the yud, but this is an additional, the bottom of the left has a tiny piece. Yeah. Yes? Let us see a picture. Yes, a picture. The picture.
Picture of a yud.
The problem is it's an Ashkenazi yud, but this is Rashi's trap, referring to that. Left side, little round, right, little piece that sticks down.
Not the top.
Not the top. There's three pshatim over here. Basically, what they're showing here is Aleph Beis Gimel is basically Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, and Rosh, these three pshatim, okay? Uncle Art doesn't even show a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Efficiently, a single picture. All right. Very good. And so, that's it. Somebody threw that at me? It's that bad? So that the Sephardic Sifrei Torah and many poorly written mezuzahs don't have that. They don't have that left side. And oftentimes it's even rounded, which is literally puzzle. You have to be very careful. You buy the cheap mezuzahs, they're usually puzzle. Because of that, right off the bat, you don't have to look further. They're not written properly. But because everybody agrees it needs at least to be square, squared off. So, okay, in any event, certainly l'chatchila, your yud is supposed to have three areas that we could call the kutso. And that is the way that it goes up on the top left, down at the bottom left, and obviously the Gufo Shel Yud down on the right-hand side, which is part of the actual letter itself. But isn't the Kutzar Shel Yud also Pshita? I mean, if that's the Tzura of the Yud, then it's the Tzura of the Yud. Don't talk to me about even. What do you mean even? I mean, you might as well say, you know, leave off one of your toes. I mean, but that's what a foot looks like. It looks like it's got five toes. I mean, the point here is, therefore, something that is a chiddush. What is that? Ah, that's Kedidah Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. D'Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ot she'in gvil mukafla mi'arba'a ruchoteha pesula. What we're talking about here is that the oat itself is completely whole. The problem is that, according to Rashi, it's touching another letter. Since it's touching another letter, it is not ktivatama, because it is not a wholesome oat, integris in itself. It merges with another letter, and therefore, graphically, both letters are not uniquely defined. Therefore, they would both be possible. However, according to Rashi, that's the problem. But suppose the letter was written at the edge of a page so that it didn't have parchment between it and the end of the page. That would be okay because it's still an integrous letter that is perfectly well shaped. According to other Rishonim, it has to be literally mukaf gvil. That's the issue. And if it's not surrounded by actual parchment, not because of the letter, but because the letter needs to be written on parchment so that the background of the letter is part of the letter. If there's no background, how do you call it a letter? Right? Okay, so that's the question. If it's the interrelationship between the background and the foreground that creates the letter, but if you don't have the background all around it, then you don't have that interrelationship. So you're missing the letter. There's nothing to contrast it to. And therefore, it would be possible. This makes a tremendous difference in a simple case where you would write a letter all the way up to the edge of the page. According to Rashi, it would be okay. At least that's how most assume in Rashi. According to us, it would be possible. We'll see this is very nogei the sugi coming up. Omar Ashian bar Nidbach, Mishmei de Rav Yehuda, Nikef Tocho Shel Hei Kasher Yerecho Pasul. If the inside of the hay had a hole in it, that would be okay. Now, we're going to take the simplest pshat, which most learn. Now, Tocho Shel Hei is the actual inside of the hay. Even if it's got a hole, that would be kosher. Now, according to Rashi's pshat, this is not a problem because you don't need that the gvil should be completely around it. So if there's a hole, the inside of the hay, who cares if there's a hole? Anyway, it's an empty space, so who cares if there's no parchment there? But what about according to others who learn that it needs to be mukaf gvil, including in the inside of the hole? So what they would have to say is that the hakafa does not mean the hakafa of every part of the oat inside and out. It means hakafa on the outside. In which case, if the middle part, the empty space of the hay, has a hole in it, that would be all right. But if you had a hole in its leg, yirecho, then that would be pasul. Okay, that would be one of them.
A hole or a crack?
Even a crack, but it's, no, not a crack in the ink. A hole in the parchment. If that's what you're talking about, a crack.
Yeah,
No. It means all in the parchment itself. You're correct. And Omer Ibzira Ladidi Mifarshali Mine de Ravuna, Rabbi Yaakov Omer Ladidi Mifarshali Mine de Rabbi Yehuda, that Nikif Tochoshal He Kasher, but it's not as simple as you're saying. It's Yerecho Im Nishtair Bokashur Ot Ktana. Let's say there's something missing from the bottom of the leg of the hay. How much has to be left to still be kosher? That's the question. In the Shtayr Bo Kishur Ot Ktana, if the shear of a yud is still left in the part that's hanging, then that would be kosher. But im lav pasul, so that the minimum size of what's left of the hanging part of the hay needs to be the full height of the yud, from its tippy top to its little leg on the bottom of the right. Okay, as I said, there's many other pshatim that are machalic between tocho shel hei, meaning a regel, versus the yerech, which is on the, in other words, between the left side and the right side, because the left side anyway hangs and so on. But let's just take this pshat, keep it simple. Agra, who was chamua de Rav Abba, had a problem in his tefillin, where ifsika ale kare de hei de ha'am. He ended up missing in the word Vayomer Moshe Elam Zachor Atayom Azer Asher Yatzata Mimitzrayim, and sure enough, his hay was hanging and there was a hole in it, benikva. So he came to Rav Abba and asked him, are my tefillin kosher? Omalei im mishtayer bo kashir ot ktana kasher v'im lav pasul. If what's left is a shir ot ktana, by the way, that word left is the source of yet another pshat, the solution of how could you have a hole, doesn't it need to be mukaf gvil, which is, if you write the letter initially and it's mukaf gvil, that is the letter. Now, if a hole appears in the parchment, that won't passel the letter subsequently. And that's the meaning of nishtayer, if what's left, which we often find is a difference. So we have garmidav, usually called, where something has a large shear initially, let's say like your tzitzit, but if it was originally made correctly, then even if it's cut and a little piece is left, it has different dinim. It's kosher after it's already properly formed. Some suggest that that's the same thing with ktiva. Another maisa that happened was Rami Bar Tamre, who was the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikule. Boy, what a family. You know, you've got the palm and you've got the dates, you know. When he says, boy, I'd like to date your daughter, the guy must have thrown him out of the house. Ifsikale Kara Devov, he had a problem in his tefillin of the vov in the pasuk of Vayarog Hashem Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. And there was a hole that went straight through the parchment, benikva. Otelakam de Reb Zera. And Reb Zera said, okay, look, what you got to do is, now over here, it was not a psul in the actual tzura of the ktiva, but it made it look like it wasn't a vav, it was a yud. So it was hard to see that it was a vav. So he said, look, there's a general psul, even if the oat, technically speaking, may be a properly formed oat, it has to be readable in context. And therefore, zil, and this of course becomes the source of a very, very common halacha, zil aite yenuka, delocha chim veloti pesh, go bring a child who isn't so smart that he's going to figure out what something is meant to say. He just reads a word as a word. But loti pesh, he can't be really stupid, meaning that he's figuring out each letter on its own, and then he's not going to be able to see the relationship at all. Loti pesh. Now, let him read the word. So if he reads the word vayaharog, so then it would be kosher. But if he reads the word yehareg, then of course it's ridiculous. Then it's a psul in the reading. So then he's not reading his avav. If not, it would be the equivalent of yehareg, and then it would be pasul. An intelligent kid is not going to do that because it means God killed himself. So obviously he'd recognize immediately it can't mean yehareg. Yehareg Hashem. God should be killed. So he would understand immediately that that can't be the right way to read it. But if he doesn't, he's just someone who's looking at a word, then we can rely on him to see what that word means. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, Bisha'am, She'alam Moshe Lamorom, Matz'o La'Kadosh Baruch Hu She'yoshev V'kosher K'tarim La'Otiyot. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mekabel Torah, he finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting there, sticking on these little designs that look like little crowns onto letters. Amala Fanav Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, who's going to complain about your ktiva, you know, that you have to make all of these fancy. I mean, we're happy with what you give us, you know. Mima keva yatcha. Who's going to sit there to make, you know, a comment about, you can do it any way you want. Amala, oh, you're wrong. There's going to be a man many generations from now. I'll even tell you his name. Akiva ben Yosef will be his name. It's going to be a guy that's going to figure out every one of these little crowns, why they mean what they mean. So just because you don't understand, to you it doesn't contain any information, that doesn't mean it isn't information rich. I'd love to see a guy like that. Hareli. Omarlo, turn around and enter my three-dimensional hologram of Rabbi Akiva. Chazar le'acharecha. And he enters into the classroom, has to take a bechina to get in. They allow him in the eighth row. He wasn't good enough to get up front. Abisov Shmonish wrote, he's listening to the shir, trying to take notes, he doesn't understand a word. Oh, he vays to keep himself. I'm supposed to be the guy who gives this Torah, and this is... Anyway, thank God, or he probably would have fainted that away. There was a certain issue where somebody raises his hands and says, Rebbe, minayin l'cha, how do you know that fact? Now, ma'alem halakha l'moshe misinai. Oy, Baruch Hashem, they remember me. Nityashva da'ato. Anyway, he comes back out of the simulation over here. Ba'al lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, you got a guy like that, and you're going to give the Torah with me. I mean, why don't you just bring him up a little bit and let him give the Torah in the first place? Atan oten Torah with an idiot like me? Ayadi? Amar lo shtok. Just shut up. Kach ala bebakshav alefanai. This is the way I like to do it. Amar lefanav, okay, well, Ribono Shel Olam, at least you've shown me this man's great Torah. Show me his great reward. Amalo, enter into my next simulation. Chazor li achorecha. He turns around and he finds them hanging Rabbi Akiva in a butcher shop. Sheshoklim b'sarov b'makolim. Amalo, v'nav, ribono shel olam, what's going on? Zot Torah v'zot schara? Amalo, shtok. I already told you to shut up once. Kach ala b'makshav alafanai. This is the way I do things. You don't like it? Make your own world. Omar Rava, Shiva Otiot Srichot Shlosha Ziyunim. There are seven letters that require three of these designs that are shaped like little Zions. And these are the seven letters. Sha'atnez Gates. Omar Ravashi Chazinu L'Sifrei Dafkani. I saw Sifrei Torah of big Bedaikim. The Ve'rav. You know what, maybe we should, it's getting late. Let's just, the Shatni's gods, by the way, Gates, is a tremendous question about all occurrences of those letters, or whether these are the letters specifically that occur in the Tefillin, but that they're, the truth is there are whole books that are written of the specific letters with how many tagim. So there's svarim shlemim of tagim that are given to Kabbalah in which different letters have different numbers of tagim in different places depending on where they occur. And each one of them, this is not ma'akev the ketiva, but each one of them has in it all sorts of rimazim. So, but again, the simple way of reading it is that these letters always require wherever they appear, they require this Zion. And we'll get the tagim. We'll get to the dinim also tomorrow. No, not ma'akev. However, they're meant to be there so that if you find that they're missing, you can add them. As opposed to, you can even add them subsequently. Because wherever we want to have a full tzurah, but we don't pass because it's ma'akev, it's addable. Whereas like this, if it was done wrong in the first place, you can't go, oh, well, we're going to be getting to those dinim. Bishlama gvi'im esrim. The gvi'im esrim mishnayim, because it says, benura arba agvi'im. And you have shlosha gvi'im shukadim b'kanei achad, which is 6 times 3, 18 plus 4, 22. So you have kavta referah. Okay, that's 4. Arba today, the 18 of the kanim. Tumani said the kanim is esri retardin. I understand where we got the kavtorim being 11 because it says kavtoreha. That's 2 dida, and then you have kavtor referah. Sorry, on each one of the shisha the kanim. Plus you've got kavtor, kavtor, kavtor. Each one of them that says shnei akanim yatzimimena. So that's another 3. That's 3 plus 8 is 11. But the prachim. I see where you get 8, because Kafta Referach, it should be 8. But where'd you get the 9th one? Tisha Minalan. If you have Pracheha, that's 2 of hers, of the middle comment. The Shisha, it says Kafta Referach on each one of the Kanim, but 6 and 2 is only 8. Omer of Shalman, you forget, it says Ad Yerecha Ad Pircha. So there's another Perach, Mikshai. That's 9. Omar Rav Gova Shomanara was only Tishat Vachim, 8 Rav Shibachil Rav. That's impossible. Even I tell if they are Rabash Shosh Ma'alot, Shealea Kaino Meinu, Meitivet Anerot, and like this, he's going to be bending over on a cane. Omale, Shimiat. Kika Minim Isfat Kanim Lomal, obviously. Now, Ktiva Perach Vanerot, Vamilkachayim Zahavu, Michlot Zahav. What is a Michlot Zahav? Omer Avami shechiltu l'kol zav sagur she Shlomo. Deom Rav Yerom Rav eser minorot asa Shlomo. Kol achad v'echad vila 1,000 kikar zav. Yichisu 1,000 pamim l'kur. Emidu al kikar. Eini? V'aktiv achol klei mashkeh melech Shlomo zav. It's the klei beit hayar levanon zav sagur. Ein kesev nechshav v'imei Shlomo l'muhuma. No, I'm talking about zav sagur. Michisa kulei Votani Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudamir Maasev Aita Menorat Beit HaMikdash Yitira Shom Moshe Bedina Zahav Kurdi Ankani Ichnisu Shmonim Pamim Lakur, and they got rid of the extra dinner Zahav. Say Midu HaKikar. Yeah, obviously, once it's already refined, I mean, how much are you going to be able to refine out of it? Given the Koi Koi. Omer Shua Bar Nachmini Omer Rabbi Yonatan Mai Dichtiv Al Menorah Torah. It's got to mean Shiordu Maaseh Mimekom Torah. And let me Atal Shulchan HaTorah, you're going to say the same thing. Yordu Maaseh Mimekom Torah. Over there, we know what it means. It means Torah Michla Shutameh. So, why not? Same thing over here. Torah Michla Shutameh. Ah, Bishlama Hatam. Gerei Shlokish. Domer Shlokish Mai Dichtiv Al Shulchan HaTorah Michla Shutameh. How could that be? Kleitz asur l'nachatu. Chol kleitz asur l'nachat. Einu mekabel tu ben vab shemagminoto. Lo loy haregalim. Omarim lahem lechem haponim. Omrim lahem ra'u chibatchem lifnei ha-makom. Mai chibatchem kiri b'yishu ben levi. Yishu ben levi neis kadol nasem lechem haponim. Silu kol kisidro. Shema l'asur lechem chom v'yom ilak chol. But here, by the menorah, what was the chiddush? Torah mechalti mapshita klimat chot dinu. Klimat chot mekabel tuma. It's got to mean Yordu Maaseh Mimakom Torah. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yerom Aron Shalaitz B'Shulchan Shalaitz B'Nor Shalaitz Yordu Min HaShemayim V'Ram Moshe V'Yasak Motam Shem Avera Eva Seke Tavni Tam Asher Tam Moreh Bahar Elamiyata V'Hakimotah Tam Mishkan Ke Mishpato Asher Horeit Bahar. So you're going to tell me Yachanami? Hachaktiv Ke Mishpato Atam Kiv Ke Tavni Tam. Gavriel came down in a vision of Chagur Kamin Psikiaya. Verala Laboshe Maasea Munavik Ze Maasea Minora. Tonal Berbishish Losh, Dvoramayukashim, Lamashachara, Eula, Akados Borhubets, Bobel, Menorah, Shadishim. Menorah, if the Maasea Menorah, Shadishim, Akadishala Kamash, Shadishim, Shrots, Victim, Vizela Kamatame, Vyesh Omrim, Afilchot Shita. Shemar v'ze asher ta'aseh al ha-mizbeach. Shtei parashat shabrizo ma'akvot zo'at zo'af yin lukitav achad ma'akvot pshita. Om Rav Yerom Rav l'nizachav kutsar shal yud. Anami pshita. Ela kidich Rav Yerom Rav yam Rav Yerom Rav kalot sheng vil mukaf lo mi'ar baruch hotep zulot. Om Rashi abar nidbach mishmeid Rav Yerom nikif tocho shalai kasher yurecho pasor. Om Rav Yerom Rav Yerom Rav Yerom Rav Yerom Rav Yaakov. Om Rav Yerom Rav Yerom Rav Yehuda. Yes, nikif tocho shal hey, it's kasher yurecho. Depends. Im nishtayr bo kishirot ktana kashem laf pasur. Agra, chamud Rebbe Baba, if sakyale, the letter of, the kara of the hay of the word vayedabra moshel ha-am, benikva, in his tefillin. Ota lekamin rabba amalei, im nishtayr bo kishirot ktana kasher, v'im laf pasur. Rami bar tarmi du chamua du rami bar tikulei, if sikale kara the vav de vayaharog Hashem kol b'chor mitzrayim, also it is the feeling. Benikva to come to the Bzir Amalei Zil Aiti Yenuka. To lo chochem elo tipesh. I korele vayaharog Hashem, then it's kosher. Ilo yeharegu, and then it's possible. Om revir om rab bishash ala Moshe lamarom. Matzao la kadosh baruch hu. Shioshei vekosher ktarim lo tiyot. Amar fin bono shel olam. Mima keva yatcha. Amar lo adam achad yeshati liyot besof kama dorot. Ava kiva ben Yosef shumot. Shati the Dosha Kol Kots Vakots Teletilin Shalalachot Amala Fanav Ribono Shalalam Hareuli Amarlo Hazorla Horecha Halakvi Ashafis or Shmona Shrot Voyade Amainomri Tashash Koho Kivan Shigil the Barakamala Tamigav Rebbe Minaylaha Amala Malokhana Mashmi Sinai Ah, Niteshwa Dato Hazar Balif Niakadosh Bokom Ribono Shalalam Ishra Dam Kazat on a Tentara Yadi אמר לו שתוק, כך עליו עכשיו לפניי. אמר לפניו רימונו שלם, הריתיני תורתו, הריני שכרו. אמר לו, חזור לאחוריך. חזר לאחוריו ראה ששוקלין בשרו במקולין. אמר לפניו, רימונו שלם, זו תורה וזו שכרה. אמר לו שתוק, כך עליו עכשיו לפניי. אמר רבה, שבע אותיות צריכות שלושה זיונים, ואלוהים, שעטנז גייץ.